Energy Singularity, the Event Horizon Podcast, a podcast where energy blockchain visionaries discuss the future of energy. Join me, Kevin O'Donovan, as I chat with some of the world's leading visionaries to take a realistic view as to what's really going on. Well, if you joined us for the last episode, episode 8, you will know that Event Horizon 2019 has already taken place back in the middle of June. The theme of this year's conference was Make Your Move. So in this, the penultimate episode of the current series, we're continuing to focus on companies who have already made a move. So for episode 9, I'd like to welcome Mei Liu, Head of Sustainability and Innovation at Singapore Power. Welcome, Mei.
Hi, Kevin. It's good to see you again.
Mei, for people who may not know you, can you do a quick introduction?
Sure. I head up sustainability and open innovation for ASPI Group. We are a leading energy utilities group in Singapore and the Asia Pacific. And in my role, I seek innovative technologies to create sustainability-focused solutions for our customers.
Now, you were one of the experts on the Renewable Energy Certificates panel at Event Horizon recently, where I had the pleasure of being the moderator. And there you spoke about one innovative solution ye at Singapore Power have commercially launched almost 9 months ago. And it's a solution that's enabled by blockchain technology. So what have you been up to?
We started exploring blockchain about 2 years ago when we were one of the first to support Energy Web Foundation as a founding affiliate. And that was because we recognized the disruption potential of blockchain that could disintermediate a centralized system that utilities traditionally operate on, and the promise it brings to modernize the grid. So working together with Energy Web Foundation, we identified renewable energy certificates, or RECs for short, as an ideal blockchain use case. And that led to a successful technical demo of our application last year at Event Horizon. We subsequently launched the commercial offering last October in Singapore as one of the world's first blockchain-powered REC platform, where we demonstrated REC trades between solar developers in the region on the supply side with the largest bank and property companies in Singapore on the demand side. Through this platform, companies and individuals can now trade RECs in a simple, secure, and cost-effective manner. Buyers automatically match with sellers around the globe according to their preferences. And this helps, in our opinion, to strengthen cross-border sustainability efforts. And we reached another milestone this month. We are really excited to announce our collaboration with IREC. IREC is currently present in 25 countries around the world. It is a globally recognized and well-established REC standard that has the widest geographical uptick globally. Through this collaboration, the SP REC platform will be the first blockchain-powered REC platform to be integrated with the IREC registry. In addition, we are taking the role as an IREC local issuer in Singapore, which makes us the first IREC local issuer in Asia Pacific. And what does this really mean for the REC buyers and sellers? So through this platform, you know, we are looking to offer a simple, convenient, one-stop shop solution for management of IRECs. And that's from issuance, transaction to redemption, all seamlessly through the SP REC platform. And we hope to bring ease and peace of mind to REC buyers and sellers.
Congratulations to ye on that collaboration with IREC. Now, I'm curious to find out, how did ye end up looking at blockchain as a possible enabling technology in the first place?
So we have been looking at new technologies as an energy company. In this day and age of decentralization and digitalization, we have been, you know, on a pathway of looking for new technologies, and that's how we kind of stumbled upon blockchain about 2 years ago, keeping an open mind to, you know, how we can reinvent energy systems with innovative technologies such as blockchain.
Well, blockchain certainly fits into the innovative category. Now, when we spoke at the event, you also mentioned that this, or any solution you look at, it has to have a defined business case and it has to be commercially viable. It's not that it's just a cool piece of technology.
You know, I mean, we were looking at it from both perspectives. And, you know, from a technology side, you know, we are open to embracing new technologies and seeing how they can really enhance the energy system. But at the end of the day, you know, we are an operating company, you know, we operate a P&L. And, you know, the solutions that we bring, no matter on what technology that it sits on, has to bring out, you know, commercial feasibility to our company eventually. So we do apply a commercial lens in terms of how we apply technology and, you know, its corresponding products that might emerge from blockchain or other technologies.
Singapore Power obviously serves the Singapore market, and you also serve the Asian market. With your REC platform and the collaboration with IREC, does this now enable you to go after markets across the globe?
Yes. So the beauty of the platform is that it enables anybody around the world who is interested to buy RECs to buy and sell simply through an automated platform that we have produced through the use of blockchain. Currently in the REC system, it's pretty much opaque and is pretty much, you know, brokered by middlemen. And through blockchain, we hope to be able to bring buyers and sellers, no matter where you are, to be able to buy and sell RECs easily.
Okay, now one of the key themes throughout this podcast series has been the skepticism in the industry when you mentioned blockchain. It was also a topic of discussion at Event Horizon. Now, it varies from company to company. Now, you have a passion for new technologies, and you started out over 2 years ago. But when you were launching your commercial REC platform back in October, did you get any pushback from your customers, given that your solution is built on blockchain? Or what kind of barriers did you come up against?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there's always, you know, barriers when it comes to doing something new. And actually, the two most common responses when I get when I speak about blockchain are, I just don't understand it. And the second response I get is, you know, it's just hype. There's also a lot of confusion with cryptocurrencies and, you know, the speculative nature of ICOs. But let me explain, you know, our approach to blockchain. So we are focusing on the use of blockchain as an enabling technology to help consumers save costs and drive greater renewables uptake. And in the case of the REC platform, we are using blockchain technology to enable a simple, secure, and cost-effective way of transacting RECs. Our aim is to leverage on blockchain as a technology without introducing any perceived uncertainties to consumers. So I hope that explains, you know, how we have approached blockchain as a technology rather than as a speculative instrument.
During our panel discussion, you also highlighted that this is a non-trivial task, and you ended up having the same conversations over and over again. Plus, you also mentioned that you had to explain what RECs were. So quite a bit of customer education was needed.
It's really been a challenge for us. I mean, really, when we talk to people out there about trying to educate them on RECs, which is kind of hard to explain in the first place for a layperson, and B, what blockchain does. So we've had, to be honest, quite big marketing challenges. And we go through that, you know, marketing spiel quite a bit in education. We've even produced a video because we found ourselves repeating all, you know, ourselves all the time. We say, we're just going to do a video and just show it.
Now, many folks listening to us may not be too familiar with renewable energy certificates, or RECs. So if I say I operate a solar farm in Asia, or I am a company wishing to buy some RECs, how can they participate in your REC marketplace? You know, how do I engage with you? How does this all work?
So if you are a solar farm in Asia and you would like to issue RECs, our platform really offers a one-stop shop in which, you know, we can hook up to your solar panel and pull out the data. And this, through our system, would be able to convert it into RECs. So this is all being tracked on the blockchain. We issue RECs based on the unit of electricity that's being generated. And this would then be able to be transacted. We can match you with a buyer through our platform. And the buyer is matched with the seller based on certain parameters, like, for example, which country are you looking for? Are you looking for only RECs in, for example, Singapore or Vietnam, for example? So you can put in certain parameters that you're looking to buy RECs. like country, vintage, so which year the RECs is being generated, and what sort of renewables. So it could be wind or solar, for example. And based on your pricing preference, we will then match all of these preferences and find you a buyer or seller correspondingly. So this is an automated system, and we try to make it easy for RECs buyers and sellers to locate each other conveniently through this platform.
And as I understand it, at the end of the day, a REC has to be tied back to the actual energy that's being generated. So you have to physically measure generation data from, say, my solar panel. There is a whole physical layer, IoT devices, for example, that need to be deployed in order to automatically get this generation data.
Yes, that's right. That's right. We do pull out the data that comes off from the asset. And this data is then pumped into our platform for the conversion into RECs. You know, there are other processes that needs to be take place. So for example, even before we sign up that solar asset, you know, there is a know your customer or KYC process that takes place to ensure that asset does exist and that this customer is a legitimate one, is a registered business, for example. So there are KYC processes that are in place to ensure that you're buying from a legitimate renewable source. And then the data is then also verified as it goes along as well. So all these are being processed or automated through our platform.
And May, when you started to develop your solution as a utility, did you do all the development in-house, or did you rely on some partnerships or collaboration with some ecosystem out there? You know, where did you get all the skills to design, build, and deploy the solution?
Yeah, sure. So I think a key part was finding a very, you know, important partner with Energy Web Foundation. And, you know, with an ecosystem play such as blockchain, it is really important to leverage on the strengths of ecosystem partners. And that's how we really started off our journey on blockchain. Energy Web Foundation was an instrumental partner for us to work with alongside in terms of leveraging on their development expertise, as well as the ecosystem that they've built up. You know, when we first joined Energy Web Foundation, we were one of the first 10 affiliates to support them. And that was a really good network of similar, like-minded corporates were willing to, you know, put in time and resources to explore the potential of blockchain. And as you would know, that ecosystem has expanded to, you know, a lot more, I believe 100 or more right now. And that becomes a whole network of blockchain enthusiasts in the energy industry whom we can, you know, talk to and exchange on best practices, or even to reach out in terms of, you know, developing and overcoming obstacles. So I think leveraging the ecosystem is a very important part of how we have managed to leapfrog our play into blockchain.
I've heard from many energy companies in the past 12 months that doing this on their own really is not a good idea, and that being able to share stories and knowledge via the Energy Web Foundation has been a huge help. Now, your REC platform is targeted at the business-to-business market today. How do you see this evolving?
Sure. So we are currently looking at it as a B2B business, and that means bringing together on the supply side renewables originators and then matching them with customers who are mostly corporates who have green targets and looking to use RECs as a tool to meet their green targets. But down the line, and you know, we are looking to launch pretty soon RECs for households, and that's possible because as a utility company, we have an outreach to all households here in Singapore, and they access our SP utility yet, in which they pay the bills and amongst other services would be able to buy RECs through the app. So that's how we intend to enable customers, including households, to go green by buying RECs easily through an automated system.
So your residential customers will be able to participate, and they really will not care or really won't want to know what blockchain technology is enabling all this under the covers. And that's a good example of where this needs to go. You know, many on the podcast already have called out that the sooner we stop talking about blockchain and simply talk about the solution that a customer can use, the better. Now, an elephant in the room during the panel was related to some skepticism or even mistrust out there in the industry around the whole concept of RECs. Some people still see it as a bit of smoke and mirrors, a bit of greenwashing.
A key area in which we have been looking into is really addressing the question of trust around RECs. You know, I mean, we talked during the panel about questions about the legitimacy of RECs and whether it's actually greenwashing. But by working with an international standard body like IREC, there are processes, there are codes that we adhere to ensure that, you know, the RECs is come or sourced from a green or renewable originator. And through blockchain, we are able to trace from the source of the generation facility through the redemption of the REC on, you know, the green attribute. So I think we are looking to put together technology to ensure that that green attribute is what it claims to be and providing that assurance to our customers.
It all comes back to trust.
Yes, that's right. I mean, you know, for our company, we've been delivering electricity to customers, you know, for as long as Singapore has been around. You know, we have been delivering physical electrons and we've built up a reputation in Singapore for doing that for decades. We hope to also leverage on that, you know, trust that we have from our customers to delivering RECs that they can trust as well.
And at SP Group, you are pretty pragmatic. As you mentioned earlier, you operate on a P&L, so any new technology has to be commercially viable.
For sure. We look at technology from a very practical sense. And, you know, in assessing the use of technology, we go through a proper assessment in terms of the cost-benefit analysis, you know, whether it applies for the product that we are going to be rolling out, you know, what is the payback period. So that's part and parcel of our analysis of adopting a technology or product that we intend to roll out to our customers. And I think that's important because that's the only way, in my opinion, to have that product or the technology be sustainable in the long run. It has to be backed up by financials. It has to provide value to our customers in the long run.
Absolutely agree. You know, I've spent most of my career evangelizing and selling new technologies. And when you look back over the years, any technology that was simply cool tech, but did not solve a problem or did not have a viable use case where it created value, then they did not last very long.
You know, someone once told me that, you know, blockchain is a solution looking for a problem. And, you know, that topsy-turvy approach is almost certain not to lead to a happy ending. So we strongly believe that solutions should be driven by a problem statement or an opportunity and then take a critical lens as to which technology could be best deployed, blockchain or otherwise. And we feel that certainly blockchain offers tremendous benefits such as resilience and immutability. We've seen quite a handful of successful deployments of blockchain at Event Horizon this year. You know, quite many interesting use cases gone live. And I really hope to see more of that in time to come and to bring more innovative solutions in our energy system.
That certainly was a key theme at this year's event. I had called this out as one of my key takeaways. And Etienne from Engie on the last episode, he also called this out. You know, this year was all about companies who have commercially deployed solutions already. The hype of previous years about what you might be able to do in the future, you know, that was all gone. This year was about what people have done.
Yeah, so I was really quite glad to see, you know, the maturity of the technology and its application in the real world at this year's Event Horizon. And that's certainly progress and development in the right direction. So, you know, corporates are in the space, you know, there's some great startups that are looking to deliver value as well using blockchain as an enabler. So, you know, it's less 101 or, you know, ICOs are. And this year was really about, you know, the benefits of blockchain and what it brings for energy solutions.
Very true. Now, as good as all the progress has been, this whole world of blockchain technology is not slowing down. There's a huge technology roadmap coming at us in the next 12 plus months. We hear a lot about distributed applications or DApps, the tokenization of energy, crypto economics. So where do you see this world of blockchain in energy heading over the next few years?
There has been some, you know, really interesting applications of blockchain, like for peer-to-peer energy trading. And, you know, that is the promise, for example, of, you know, the decentralized energy system that, you know, many people envisage the world to go into. You know, I think that's a very interesting outcome of blockchain and how it can be deployed. So there's just so many possibilities. And, you know, what I'm looking forward to see is as we go true into a more decarbonized world, decentralized world, blockchain is certainly a technology that would enable us to transition or make the energy transition in this new world. And, you know, I'm really excited to, you know, be part of this whole innovation. So I'm looking forward to seeing more interesting developments.
It certainly is an interesting time. You know, we've had Dave on from PowerLedger, Maria from Verve, and Jojo from Electron. And they and many others are out there day in, day out, leading the charge on some of these new commercial use cases. Now, there are some serious regulatory challenges and technical challenges that will need to be overcome before a lot of these, especially around peer-to-peer energy markets, before they become mainstream. Now, personally, I'm quite bullish on blockchain being a key enabling technology when it comes to rolling out electric vehicle charging. This, to me, is one to watch.
I think EV, for electric vehicles, there's a, you know, will be a very interesting and big playground for blockchain. I mean, that said, you know, electric vehicle on its own is still finding its place. The deployment or the rollout rate around the world is still growing, and I think it will accelerate. But once you have that network in place, blockchain can certainly be there to provide a lot more convenience to electric vehicle car owners.
May, you mentioned at the start of our chat that you have been working on this for 2 years. So you've learned quite a lot on what works, what's not so easy, et cetera, et cetera. Now, there are still energy companies out there that remain a bit skeptical when it comes to blockchain. What advice would you give them?
My key piece of advice is to really understand blockchain and what value it brings to the solution you're really trying to solve. And that's pretty much a business solution that blockchain could provide the answer to. But the use case has to be clearly articulated. There has to be a commercial viability to it. It shouldn't just remain, you know, a technology playground for people to dabble in, that it should be backed up by a use case and a proper sizing of the addressable market, and really see it from the lens of, you know, growing it into a business solution to solve issues for customers. So seeing it from a business angle would then enable that long-term viability of blockchain and the use cases that we've been seeing.
May, thanks again for taking the time. I really enjoyed our chat.
Thank you. Always a pleasure speaking with you. Take care.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Energy Singularity. And again, a special thanks to all of you who have listened to the series so far. As we go to publish episode 9, we're almost up to the 4,000 download mark. So that's a lot more than we expected. So thank you all. And while there is just one more episode to go on the current series, blockchain and energy is not slowing down. So be sure to follow along via our social media channels to keep up with all the news. It's now the time to make your move.